Welcome to Pursuing True North's Truth of the Week series. I'm Catherine King.
And I'm Jenny Scioto. This week's Truth of the Week is Job 22:21. Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. New King James Version.
Job is a really amazing book, like the whole story.
Well, you want to tell the reader, in case they haven't read the whole book, how does the book of Job start?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So Job in general, they gave us kind of a background at the beginning that he's a good, very righteous man who was close to God and obeyed his commands. He was a righteous person.
He had perfect integrity is one of the translations I read. Could you imagine that, having perfect integrity?
No, I can't. I'm not that good. I'm not that good.
I'm trying to teach my children integrity and stuff, but to have perfect integrity.
This dude was pure, through and through. He really was. So he's this upstanding person who is close to God, and Satan shows up in this story first in the presence of God, and he's complaining and bored. Because Satan gets bored walking over the earth and complaining about it. And God asks then if he is considered Job. Okay, this information is in the first chapter of Job. So just that right there. Satan's bored and God points out Job. Like, he points this really good dude out. He points him out. Like, have you thought about him?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It hurts. It hurts to think about.
It really does. Like, what if that were you? God's like, okay, she's a good person, but have you thought about
messing with her? Saying all of Job's stuff is under your hedge of protection. And God just says, okay. He lifts his hedge of protection and gives everything that Job owns under Satan's power. Which is terrifying.
Yes, he just kind of said, you can do what you want. I'll take that hedge of protection off since you notice that that's around him. I'll take it away, but you just can't kill Job. You can do anything you want to him, but you can't kill him.
Yeah. Oof, I would have been praying for death.
Didn't Job wish he wasn't? I'm pretty sure throughout there he had mentioned that. And y'all can fact check us on that, but I'm pretty sure he got to a point where, like, why could I not just be done with this? Because that kind of torment that the next chapters after chapter one talk about what happened to Job was dreadful. He loses his family. He loses his children. He loses his livelihood. He loses his home. He loses everything except his wife and his life. And he's got a couple friends that talk to him all throughout this chapter as well. This book as well. And they offer him suggestions. They try to give him advice. They're trying to figure out, hey, Job, what on earth could you possibly have done to piss God off so much that this is now happening to you? They suggest he had done something in the market or in general that no one knew about except God. They went through trying to pick apart, okay, Job, what... have you done something? Have you walked away from God? Have you been unrighteous somewhere? Like, what? And Job kind of wonders, you know, hey, I've done everything. I don't know why this is happening to me. So coming from Job's perspective.
And to back up a second on the wife story, she also was going through this with him, not as righteous and full of integrity as he is, but she lost all of her children in one day. I can't even imagine that. She's not as strong in the faith as Job is. And she encourages her husband to curse God. And he doesn't. And she was rebuked. Job actually had to rebuke her at one point as a foolish woman, which that kind of hurts because she's grieving. She's lost her kids.
She's going to say some dumb things.
Yeah, but... you say dumb things when you're grieving. I mean, it ends happy because they stay married and she had 10 more children with Job afterward, but I'm sorry. I'm giving away the end of the story.
Jumping ahead a little here instead of going back.
K- Can you imagine? Okay, you lost all of your children. Now your wife is telling you to curse God.
And your friends are accusing you all at the same time. Like, you're already yes. going through all this torture.
You're fighting everything. Your friends, your spouse,
everyone is against you. And you feel, also, you feel like God's against you. You're like, what on earth? Yeah. And he does. He's like, I wish I could just plead my case in front of God and be like, why is this happening to me? What is all this for? And I understand. I would have those same questions. I would want God to come down and answer me and be like, hey, this is why you're going through this. And I know there have been times, I know in my life and Jenny and yours, that
there are definitely times that I'm like, could you some just explanation? Clue me in?
Yeah.
Because everything, he uses everything for good. God uses everything for good. The Bible tells us this, but I don't always see it.
It's hard to see when you're in the thick of the emotion and the pain,
yes.
too.
And I give Job credit because even through everything and everyone being against him and God allowing Satan to just screw with him.
Yeah.
He still stays faithful.
And honestly, going back to where Satan was in front of God and God said, hey, have you considered Job? God's not constrained by time and space.
Yes.
And he knew Job was going to make it through that.
Yeah.
He knew it was going to be hard for him, but he knew he was going to do it well.
And it's
perfect, no, but well, yes.
Yeah, and it's amazing because God isn't restrained by time. He's omnipotent, I can say that word. He, in his probably mind, if God has a mind, I don't know what you would call it, it's temporary. All of Job's pain is not long-lasting. So he probably wasn't thinking about it in the human sense that as we're going through it, even 5 minutes feels like forever. If you've just found out that all of your children have died, 5 minutes feels like eternity.
Oh, yeah. Imagine so. So now that's a bit of the background on Job. If you haven't read the entire book, we highly suggest that. If you've ever been through anything difficult, and I'm sure all of you who are listening are like, well, yep, that includes me, then you can relate to a lot of the stuff in Job and his feelings because he pours them out. Like, you can see him struggle because he is human.
And it's natural, especially through the feelings of grief and sorrow, to be tempted to reject God or be angry at God. It's very tempting. But this book, and especially this truth of the week, is here to remind us that we are still children of God and we need to stay acquainted with God so that we aren't tempted to be angry at him when those feelings come up.
Yes, so our verse again says, now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. This verse specifically was mentioned by one of Job's friends who at the time was thinking Job must have done something.
Yeah.
So in all fairness, this whole section in Job 22 where Eliphaz talks about Job, here's some truth for you. It was the truth in this section is honest and true kind of counsel, but for Job at the time, it wasn't because he was kind of accusing Job of not being righteous or not being acquainted with God. So this was his instruction specifically to Job to say, hey, how about you just come back to God? Acquaint yourself with God. And it makes sense.
It does make sense. And it's one of those things that it's a great reminder too, because there are some people, even to this day, when cruddy thing happens after cruddy thing, they're like, you must be pissing somebody off. Like, you must be doing something wrong. And it's good to remind ourselves sometimes, because this world is a fallen world and because we as Christians are promised that we will have trials and tribulations, that just because somebody is having bad circumstances or a run with cancer or any of those things, it's not necessarily that they have sinned. Job's friends are good meaning, but very off target.
You can't
target.
That's right. You can't just assume because people are going through tons of negative things that there's something inherently wrong with them or that they've done something to piss God off. It's just, God's not just up there shooting lightning bolts at us every time we screw up, because we would be straight dead.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously we do need to look at that. I love that perspective you had right there about making sure when you see things happening to other people, because I know, especially in my own life, I had a long run of feeling like I was getting shot by lightning bolts, and you're like, well, maybe there's something I'm not aware of, something I didn't know about, like, I don't know.
Trying to tell me something.
What have I done? Like, here? I feel like I've repented. What's going on? Like, because it's easy to get.
Yeah.
I understand the perspective of his friends, because coming from the outside, especially with his gifted as he was and as blessed as he was through his life up to that point, like, whoa.
Yeah.
Dude, what happened? But the truth still remains truth within his skewed perspective of what was happening to Job. It's still true that if we acquaint ourselves with God, if we acquaint ourselves with God, we will be at peace. I mean, Jesus came to, he's like, I don't know how many times Jesus said, peace be with you. Don't be afraid. I give you peace this world cannot offer. And good does come to us. Yes, trials and tribulations come, but so does goodness, and so does, like you mentioned earlier, Jenny, about just the good that God has for us.
Yeah. And it's, I think even with trials and tribulations, even with some of the horrible things that we all have dealt with, from miscarriages to cancer to family losses to everything, there's always a peace and a goodness that you can find in there. It might not be great, but there is always some sort of peace that you can find in there. If you are acquainted with God and you are walking with him and in the word, you can still find that peace to hold you from being stuck in that angry place that you can get in so much of life's tragedies.
It's true. And even with some of the trials, I know we had gone through a period of time with one of our kids. She had low growth hormone. And they wanted to make sure there was nothing on her pituitary, and to make sure that if they were going to give her growth hormone, that there we weren't going to exacerbate a cancer or a tumor or anything like that. So we went in for an MRI, and we found a spot on her brain, and we're like, you know, when you hear from a neurosurgeon, top neurosurgeon in Nashville,
that's terrifying,
that your child has a spot on their brain and they need to monitor this or talk about, if, you know, just, they can't give you too much information over the phone without having another consultation with you. And now, you know, you've got to keep going for scans to see if your child has a brain tumor. That is a terrifying thing to hear. And it took a second, it took a few minutes, but then both my husband and I noticed we had a peace that we shouldn't have had, not knowing what this was or what was going to happen. Yeah. And the only thing we can attribute that peace to is Christ, because it didn't make sense. People around us that we had told were like, oh my gosh, like they were freaking out more for us than we were. But we're like, hold on, we feel okay. Like there's a peace here. And now not every negative situation that I've been through have I felt this kind of peace. But sometimes you can have that.
Yeah.
And if it's not just naturally a blessing of being acquainted with God and walking with him, even with the times that are in your face hard, especially if you look back, sometimes you don't even always notice it during the situations, but you can look back and go, oh, wow, I really do see
where how God showed up. Yeah. It is amazing, especially looking back. There's plenty of times in my life that I can see, okay, God was holding my hand through that. I only got through that because he was, you know, there through everything.
Yes. And good does come to us even after the negative. That's one of the promises that I love from God in Romans, that he's for us and not against us. And and he works out all the good for those who love him. And he does. It just doesn't always feel like it. And what's interesting is he refines us through these things. And Job, as righteous and good as he was, if you read the last couple chapters where God has a conversation with Job about it, and Job was like, what did I do to you? I don't understand this. God was like, excuse me, do you know who I am? Like, I am the one who put the stars in the universe. And God's just beautifully descriptive of his powerful, wonderful, I'm God, you're not.
Yeah.
And Job was like, I knew with my
check
mind.
Yourself.
Oh, yeah. And Job at the end, and this is one of those things that's beautiful about encountering God just in general, is Job was like, I had seen with my eye, but now I know. So he had known about God's nature and about God's everything by walking closely with him, but this was his first real experience on a different level where he got to understand something deep in his soul. Yeah. He's like, oh, I get it. So God refined him. Even a righteous, great man, he also had some refining to do. So that means we have some refining that we need too, if we're not quite as righteous as Job, yes. Right?
Well, and that's why it's important to be writing all these truths of the weeks in our hearts and really kind of taking it to memory, because these are the morsels of truth that are going to feed us in those hard times. So our challenge to you guys this week is, how do we acquaint ourselves with God? How do you acquaint yourself with anyone or anything?
So just to be acquainted with your friends or be acquainted with your family, you have to spend time with them.
Yeah.
You have to learn about them. I need to acquaint myself with you, Jenny, to know your ins and outs, your likes, your dislikes.
Exactly. It's one of those where spending time in the Word equates to getting to know. It's almost like a friendship or a love with God. It's getting to know Him just as you would an acquaintance. You know, asking them the questions, getting to know what they like and don't like. God tells us very clearly through the Bible all of the things that we really need to learn in our life.
And just to know, to acquaint myself with a friend is to get to know, to get a connection that's stronger than just surface level. Yeah. And that's definitely something that you can't take surface level information into a really wicked hard time. You have
better
to take
small talk. Yeah.
You have to take some like serious, I know this, I know my God's like this, I know my maker's like this, I know that his love for me surpasses my circumstances. You have to know these things deep in your heart, because otherwise when that stuff does show up and you're not, if you're not close and not acquainted, it can be a lot harder, kind of like with Job's wife, to just kind of have a harder time staying strong.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we are so glad you joined us today.
Hit subscribe so you don't miss a thing and catch all the new happenings at pursuingtruenorth.com.
Don't forget to like and share us.
Have a wonderful day.
We'll see you next week.